2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. But our sufficiency is of God. Remember that thought. And let's go over to John chapter 6. We're going to read a very familiar story. I think maybe one of the most, if not the most famous miracle that Jesus performed while he was here on earth. John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient. Remember that. Is not sufficient for them, but every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Not enough is enough. Not enough is enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd take this thought of the sufficiency, Lord, the sufficiency of an almighty God. Help us to understand that. Help us to go home with it. Help us to really get it. Lord, there's no doubt there's tired people in this auditorium. They're going to listen to a tired preacher. But Lord, if there's ever a time for us to exercise discipline, if there's ever a time for us to sit on the edge of our seats and really focus and really get, Lord, it's now during the preaching of the Bible. I pray, Lord, that you'd steal the young people. I pray that, Lord, you'd not allow children to or teenagers to walk in and out of the service. Just, Lord, may we sit, may we listen, may we get what God has for us today. Lord, protect us from interruptions, those things that are going to keep our minds from the Scriptures. And Lord, feed us from your word, we pray. I believe, Lord, that this is important. I believe there's some folks that desperately need this today. They desperately need to hear this. God, not that they're bad people, but they're going through heartaches. They're going through difficulties. They're facing some challenges. Lord, I pray, dear God, that they'd understand that we have a God that provides sufficiency. Our God is enough. Now, bless what we're going to say, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to look right up here and listen. I promise you this. I promise you, if you'll let me, I can help you today. I can help you today. Please let the Bible speak to your heart. This week, I became infatuated. By the way, Sister Carol, thank you for praying. I say this to all of our from time to time, to all of our people that sing specials. It's wonderful as I'm sitting there thinking and watching God orchestrate a service and putting things together. His grace is sufficient for me. Did you get that? His grace is sufficient for me. This week, I became infatuated with the word sufficient. The word sufficient simply means this. It means enough. It means enough. When the Bible says that there is sufficient, it means there is enough. When the Bible says that there is not sufficient, it means that there's not enough. So the word sufficient simply means enough. Now let me start out the message by saying this. As Christians, our sufficiency is to be in God. Our sufficiency is to be in God. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Preacher, what does that mean? It means if you have God, you have enough. Let me say that again. If you have God, you have enough. Now, some of you may doubt that. Some of you are taking that principle and you're trying to hold it up against reality. I want to show you this morning, that the areas of your life that you do not think that you have enough, the areas of your life that you think you are deficient in, or you do not have what you need to have in, if you will involve God in those areas, you will find that not enough is enough when you include God. Now, I wanted to then take you to the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Let's look at the Word of God this morning as we find it in the text in John chapter number 6. Here is a situation where there was not sufficient. There was not enough. Jesus had spent the day teaching and preaching. A great multitude, the Bible says, followed Him. Such that He had to go into a mountain, and there He sat, and there He taught. He spoke down from the top of a mountain. Can you imagine Jesus up perhaps on some great rock and down the hill, down the mountainside? It's filled with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You say, "Preacher, I thought there were 5,000. The Bible says there were 5,000 men there, not including women and children. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that usually where you find a man, you'll find a woman. And in this day and age, sometimes 3, 4, you never know. But there's men and there's women and there's children. And this was a time where folks had large families, and so there's a good possibility there could be 20, 25, 30,000 people. That actually might be a low estimate of what was there on that mountainside. And when Jesus gets done, the sun is already low in the horizon. He's worried about sending the people back, and can they make it? They haven't eaten all day. And so He turns to Philip, and He says, He asks this question, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, the next verse explains why He asked the question. This He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Let me just give you a little teaching tool here, parents, Sunday school teachers, preachers. Let me give you a little teaching tool here. You know, there's a lot of times that we ought to ask a question to a student, ask a question to a teenager, ask a question to a child, not because we do not know the answer, but because we need them to get to think. We need to get them thinking. We need to get them to start to step up. You know, as a follower, if you're not careful, are you young men listening to me? As followers and as you're being trained, if you're not careful, you just never think through any situation. Mom's always taking care of things. Dad's always taking care of things. Get to the church. Preacher takes care of things. Youth pastor, Sunday school teacher, everybody takes care of everything. But at some point, you need to be trained, if you're going to be a future leader, that guess what? There's going to be a day when you can't just look at somebody and expect them to figure something out for you. And so Jesus knew that there would be a day that He would leave. And these disciples, He was trying to get them to think. And so He asked this question, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And He said this to prove Philip. Now here's Philip's answer. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said this, we could break the bank. We could bust the budget. And you know what? The honest truth is, we still would not have enough. It would still not be enough to feed all of these thousands and thousands of people. Now, what Philip was saying here to the Lord Jesus Christ was this: we don't have enough. There's not enough. It's not sufficient. There's not enough. I mean, if we had 200 pennies worth, there's not enough. Besides that, if we had the money, there's no store here. There's no Walmart. There's no Angel's Food Store. There's no Safeway. We just don't have enough. There's not enough in this situation. Jesus Christ, of course, those of us that know the story, performed a miracle that day. There was a lad there. By the way, this lad didn't have 200 pennies worth of food. What he had was 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then the question that Peter asked, what are they among so many? Jesus said this, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. I love the first phrase in verse 6, when they were filled. I mean, folks, this was a Baptist pitch-in dinner, amen? When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So wait a minute. We had a situation where there was not enough. There's just not enough. But all of a sudden you have not enough, and then you have Jesus Christ, and then you have enough, and then you have an abundance. So folks, most of the time when we think we do not have enough, the honest truth is we do have enough. What we don't have is God in our not enough. Are you getting this? Let me give you the series of steps that happened here. Number one, notice there was not enough. Number two, someone who did not have enough gave what they had to Christ. Did you get that? Someone who did not have enough gave what they had to Christ. Number three, Christ blessed it. Number four, notice now that there's not only enough, there's more than enough. Did you get that? Are you listening to me? Are you letting this sink in? If we had 200 pennies worth, it would not be sufficient. It would not be enough. But here's a little boy with a basket, and he certainly could look in that basket and say, here, Jesus, you can have it, but I'll just tell you right now, it's not enough. It's not enough. But Jesus took what was not enough and blessed it, and it became more than enough for what God wanted to do on that particular day. Now, I began to meditate on this great truth this week. The idea of God being our sufficiency. I begin, as you already have, to hold it up to reality. You know, there's some things it's easy to say from a pulpit. When I made the statement earlier, if you have God, you have enough. You know what? There's the spiritual part of us, the faith part of us that wants to say amen. Then there's the practical reality part of us that really sometimes questions that. Is he really enough? Wait a minute, preacher. I'm glad I have God, but sometimes he's not enough. I'm glad I have him, but I mean on the practical things of life, there's other things that I need. Well, is the Bible mistaken here? Is it misguiding us? Is it leading us down this Pollyannish view of life? Is this true or is it false? Can a Christian truly find our sufficiency in God? You see, there are a few things in this world. I'll tell you this. Let me just be transparent with you. There's a few things in this world that I have never felt that I have had enough of. I've never felt I had enough. I never feel that there are some things that are sufficient. And let me say this, God has chosen to limit us in some areas. He in his great wisdom sees to it that there are some things that we will never have in abundance. You ever felt like that? I'll tell you what, if I just had an abundance of this or an abundance of that, man, I'd be the happiest person in the world. But the honest truth is, God wants us to not find our sufficiency in things. God wants us to find our sufficiency in him. So most, watch this, don't miss what I'm going to say. We're going somewhere. Most of the time, God is going to see to it that you do not have enough of something so that you can then go to him with the not enough and watch him take a not enough situation and turn it into a more than enough situation. And guess what? You guess in that case who gets the glory? Guess who gets the praise? Guess where your faith begins to lie? Not in the things that you have, but in the God that can take the not enough and make it into a more than enough. Now let me just get this down to where we live. Preacher, you said a few minutes ago there's some areas, some things you just feel like you've never had enough of. Let me just list a couple of them for you. I've never felt like this. I've had enough time. I want to just look at the clock sometimes. I want to think of the way God constructed 24 hours and God rotated the earth a certain at a certain speed, and it makes the sun come up, and it makes the gives us a certain number of hours in the day, and then you know what? God turns the light off, and the day is ended. And I just oftentimes in my office will look up and realize how much time has passed and how little it seems like has been accomplished in comparison to what needs to be done. And I don't know how many times I've said, there's just not enough time. Have you said that? There's just not enough time. I do not have enough time. And so this is how we handle that situation a lot of times when we feel like we don't have enough time. We get discouraged about it. We get our little to-do list out, and these are the things that I need to accomplish today, and we write them all out. And we look at the to-do list, and we look at the clock, and we look at the amount of time, and immediately we say to ourselves, there's not going to be enough time. I don't have enough time. So we jump in with not enough time, or sometimes we'll just sit and fret over the to-do list and fret over the clock and look back and forth, and how am I going to get the folks? It's ticking now. It's ticking. It's ticking while you're despairing. Time's passing while you're sitting there wringing your hands, trying to decide that, and deciding and already surrendering to the idea that you don't have enough time. So many folks, you'd be surprised how many Christians live this way. I know I should get these things done today, but I don't have the time to do them. So I'm going to sit in despair until I become overwhelmed, and then I'm going to do nothing on the list, and then I'm going to have a bigger to-do list tomorrow so that I can become more depressed and go in more into despair. Now let me help you. If you want to live your life that way, you can. And you say, well, I don't have enough time, preacher. There's so much to do. I don't have enough time. All right. There's an area of your life that you don't have enough. There's not a sufficiency of time. So what you need to do is do what that boy did, and that's take what little time you have and take it to God. Now listen to me. You say, what's God going to do? Make the sun stand still? Well, let me tell you this. He could if he wanted to. He's done it before. But if I take my to-do list to God and I tell him, God, I don't have enough time. The first thing he will say to you is this. Okay, give me what you do have. Now, let me tell you why most Christians don't accomplish a whole lot. Because they clutch on tightly to their little basket of food and they won't hand it over. Now, Lord, I don't know if you heard my prayer. That didn't even make any sense. I just told you, I don't have enough time. And then you say to me, give me what you have. God, I'm not real bright, but if I don't have enough and I give some of it to you or all of it to you, that means I'm going to have less than I had before. Wrong! So you get up in the morning, you get your to-do list all out, you come before God. God, I'm just telling you right now, I don't have enough time, Lord. I do not have a sufficiency of time, Lord. So I need your help. Wait a minute. He's going to say, slow down. But Lord, the time's ticking. Slow down. What I need you to do is set that list down for a minute. Lord, I got to get after this. No, what I need you to do is pick up my word. But Lord, I don't have time. I'm so sick and tired of people telling me they don't have time to read their Bible every day. You don't have time not to read your Bible every day. You're going to get more. You're going to get more. I could get somebody to get me a drink of water. Actually, a Pepsi and a Big Mac would be great. But I'll just settle for a drink of water. That'd be great. But I've been overworked this week, folks. My wife hasn't been. She won't lift a finger. Sits in a recliner ringing that bell all the time. I haven't been able to sleep at night. Just up, run, do this, do that. I'm telling you what. Oh, my goodness sake. I've had to do dishes this week. Dishes this week. Is that ridiculous? I'm telling you what. I need this message this morning. I'm telling you right now. I need somebody to encourage me this morning. And but it's good to see her in church. I'm glad she finally decided to come back to church. Yeah. Struggling with some spiritual issues, and we won't get into all that, but it does make this preacher a lot happen. I've offended two girls. They're leaving now, so I was just kidding about my wife. She's fine. I don't have enough time, Lord. The Lord says, okay, let me see that list. Okay, set it over there. Well, Lord, what do you mean set it over there? I got to get bit? No. Do you want help or not? Do you want your sufficiency to be in your time, or do you want your sufficiency to be in me? You see, you may not have enough. Wow, look at that. You may not have enough. But he says, I've got everything you need. You see, there's nothing on that list. Listen, folks. Let me just share you a little secret with you. You can run off with your to-do list every day, and you can do it in the power of the flesh, and you're going to find everything takes longer and everything's harder. We're crazy. We say our sufficiency. Oh, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I... No, it's not. Or we'd stop and get him on board. We'd stop and get his power. We'd stop and get his help. So God says, set it aside. Well, I'm not getting anything done. Pick up your Bible. But Lord, I'm already... Just pick your Bible up. Now sit there and read until I tell you to stop. And you'll read and read and read. And now you think, now I'm 30 minutes behind. And he says, well, now let's spend some time talking. I've had some time to talk to you. Why don't you spend some time talking to me? By the way, there's some people in your church that need somebody to come to the throne of grace for them. Why don't you spend a little time speaking some names out that need some prayer? We were in our young adult class this morning and got some prayer requests. And I always take some of them and just tie into my heart. Brother Bud Mumaw got bad news this week. And we're going to be praying, Brother Frank, for your dad. I just hate to hear this. But a difficult situation. Hey, you know what? Folks, somebody, a lot of somebodies in this church need to spend some time at the throne of grace praying for this family. Brother J.R. Whittle, I asked him about his wife. How's she doing? She's in the hospital. Somebody needs to be at the throne of grace for Sister Rita. Somebody needs to be at the throne of grace for Sister Connie Asbury's in the hospital. And there, folks, good night. There's no way to stop on the list. So God says, now, wait a minute. You're telling me you don't have enough time. Now, I want you to set your to-do list aside for a minute, and I want you to read your Bible. You say you don't have enough time, but I want you to spend some time praying for some people that need prayer. Well, Lord, good night. I knew I shouldn't have come to you. You're going to have me an hour late. I'm losing time. No, folks, you're not losing time. You're gaining time. You say, Brother John, I don't believe you said that. Well, that's what we think. You may not say it out loud, but that's what we think. Man, that's good. Want a drink? Are you getting this? And so we say we don't have enough, and God says, well, is your sufficiency in me? Yes, then why don't you spend some time with me? But Lord, I'm already short on time. Are you getting this? Listen, God will come to you and say, take your to-do list to God. The first thing he's going to do is tell you to set it aside. Next thing he's going to tell you to do is spend some time in the Bible. Next thing he's going to tell you to do is spend some time praying. Listen, don't go charging out into every day trying to accomplish something without God Almighty and without his help. Then he says this, listen, make your time available to me. Give me what you have. And by the way, it's amazing how many times I've had a to-do list. And I've set it off to the side and I've said, I've got to spend some time with my God. And I read the scriptures and God gives me some wisdom and I pray. And God allows me to cast some cares upon him, knowing that he cares for me. And all of a sudden, the bothers and the worries of those burdens go during the prayer time. And the wisdom from God's word infiltrates this preacher. And now I pick up a to-do list and God allows me with a clear mind, with a spiritual mind, with a God anointed mind to look at that list and reevaluate. Listen, folks, there's a lot of things on our to-do list that probably even shouldn't even be there. I'm a little tired of people telling me how they don't have time to serve the Lord, but it's amazing what they find time to do. Are you listening to me? All of a sudden, it's like I can look at that list and God says, now what are the things that have to be done today? What are the priorities? And he helps me sort those out. Is there somebody else that could do some of these things? And honestly, they should be. You know why some of us don't have enough time? It's because we keep picking up things that are not ours and doing them. And all we're doing is helping somebody else learn slothfulness. Mamas, are you listening to me? We in our school, we call it picking up monkeys. Everybody's got monkeys that they take care of. If you go on one of these people that are hyper helpful and you're going around taking everybody else's monkeys, everybody else's responsibilities, pretty soon you're not doing your responsibilities. You're not really doing their responsibilities. And they are not being trained in the character traits that they need to take a responsibility and finish it out. So it's amazing when all of a sudden you've got the mind of God, you know what ought to go to the top of the list. When you got the mind of God, you know what ought to be delegated. When you got the mind of God, you know how to be more efficient in what needs to be done? What can be done simultaneously? And what should not be done at all? And all of a sudden, without God, I was a frustrated mess, screaming that I didn't have enough time. But with God, I not only have enough time, I have an abundance of time. Now there's a way to live here that we're looking at. I hope you get it. Now listen, folks, once you go through that list, get busy. Get busy. God says get busy. Listen, you've given me some of your time. You've given me your time. You've helped me to give you some wisdom as far as how to use your time. Now get busy in my wisdom. Get busy in my strength. I mean, take the attribute of industry and get busy and work hard in my strength. And you know what? It's amazing. That impossible list that you were despairing over and you were giving up over and you have been procrastinating about, all of a sudden it becomes very manageable and very doable through God. God says this, I've given you limited time on purpose. God chose how long a day would be. I've given you limited time on purpose. It will never seem enough. If you had too much time, you'd waste more than you do now. This is what God says to us. Here's the secret. Give me what time you have. Watch me multiply it. Watch me make it more than enough. I put on the sign out here, Sunday is the Lord's day, as in His, not yours. I'm very, very sick and tired of people in this community telling me they don't have time to go to church on Sunday. You just don't understand my situation. Yeah, like nobody here is busy. Like nobody here has a job. Like nobody here isn't burning the candle at both ends and sometimes in the middle. Don't give me that. The Sunday, let me make this very specific. Sunday is the Lord's day. You say, is that in the Bible? Sure it is. Revelation chapter 1. John, the Bible says John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. L-O-R-D apostrophe S. That means possession. That means ownership. His day. This is God's day. It belongs to Him. There's a lot of Christians. I talked to a lady yesterday. A lot of Christians stealing Sunday from God. I mean, I'm just to the point now where I talk to somebody, you know, and I'm probably getting old and I don't care anymore. But I'm sick and tired of listening to excuses. I ask them about their salvation and they want to tell me they're a born-again Christian. Then I tell them, are you in church? No. And I said, well, I knew you didn't go to church. That's why I came to visit you. I didn't know whether you were lost and therefore didn't care about God and care about church, or whether you were saved and just living a disobedient, backslidden life. But one of those two things are true. One of those two things are true. You're either lost and that's why you have no desire to go to church, or you're saved and you're just stealing Sunday from God day in and day out. Now, folks, the honest truth is, we as God's people need to make Jesus Christ and Almighty God a priority, and our sufficiency needs to be in Him. And listen, if you don't have enough time, then there's other things that ought to be cut out, but church is not one of them. Church is not one of them. I don't have time to serve the Lord. Yes, you do. You absolutely do. Matter of fact, if you'd serve Him, you'd be surprised how many other... Listen... People won't tithe in their money, and I always tell people this. You know what? Those of you that say you don't tithe, you do tithe. You say you don't tithe, but you tithe. And the sad part is that you lose reward. The church doesn't benefit. Ministries don't benefit. Missionaries don't get supported. But you are not going to keep God's money in your pocket. God will take that money one way or another. He's going to get that money. Now watch this. We believe that about money. Why don't we believe that about time? I don't have time to serve the Lord. That's, you know why? Because you don't take time to serve the Lord. It's like a person says, I can't afford to tithe. You know why you can't afford to tithe? Because you don't tithe. You're stingy with your time. All right, I'll show up to church if I can, but don't ask anything else of me. I mean, there's some of you that just have neon signs above your head. Do not disturb. I've made a phone call a couple times, or other ministry directors made a phone call a couple times, and you've made it loud and clear. We should just be thankful that you walk in the door. That should be enough. Well, bless your heart. Listen, I couldn't get by with that when I was growing up. My dad gave me jobs to do. I said, Dad, what do you mean? You expect me to work? You expect me to do jobs? I mean, good night. I show up at the table and eat three times a day. What else do you want? Because that's all this is. This is showing up and eating. This is showing up and getting fed. Now listen, what I'm saying is this. You know what? If you will, I don't have enough time. All right, then why don't you go to God and say, God, I don't have enough time. He'll say, okay, here, let me have your life. God, you don't understand. I don't have enough time. Now, give it to me. Give it to me. And see, listen, if you put God as priority one on your schedule, now I think everybody here ought to take a 7 day a week, 24 hours, and you know what? I'm talking about, if you've never did this, you ought to. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, piece of paper, break it down in hours, and you know what you ought to do? You ought to just mark off some places. Sunday morning, not available. Sunday night, not available. Wednesday night, not available. Pick a soul winning time, not available. You know what? These things are God's. They go to God. These things belong to God. You know, somebody calls up, hey, could you come? You want to go do this? Sorry, I've already committed that time. To who? To God. Imagine that. God should have a priority. God should be the one that comes first. We come and we give our lives to God, and all of a sudden, God sees that and blesses that and anoints that. And you know what? We say to ourselves, man, if I did that, think of how much less time I would have. But the honest truth is, when you do that, you have more time. You know why? Because God is going to get that time one way or another. And there's all kinds of things He can do in your life to tie you up and tie you up and tie you up, and unneeded hours on this project, unneeded time on this project. You know why? Simply because we won't obey God. Our sufficiency should be in God. So sometimes I say, I don't have enough time. Lord, there's not enough time. Sometimes I say this, I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough strength. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to show you the basis of the song that was sung this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough strength. I'm just not strong enough to do that. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough energy to do that. I do understand. We have some wonderful, precious senior saints here. And the honest truth is, it's a fact of life. Our physical strength diminishes through the years. There are some things that we were able to do and some things that you folks were able to do that you are not able to do physically anymore. But let me say this, folks. I think if we're not careful, when we say we don't have enough strength, it's because we don't understand that our sufficiency is not supposed to be in our physical strength. Our sufficiency is supposed to be in the power of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, are you there? Did I tell you 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let me get you over there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And let me read here. The Bible says this. Verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, watch this, my grace is what? Which means what? It's enough. My grace is enough for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Lord, I don't seem to have enough strength to face what is before me. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Lord, I don't have enough strength. I'm just not strong enough to handle this. I don't have enough strength to face what I've been asked to face here. And God says this, good, good. Glad you finally realized that. Do you have any strength at all? Well, a little. Give it to me. Lord, I just told you I don't have any strength. I got very little. Just give it to me. Give it to me. Now, in return, I'm going to give you grace. And with my grace comes my strength. Now, forget your weakness and go forward in my strength. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you this works physically. This works emotionally. This works spiritually. When I was in Bible college, and I'm telling you what, there was a couple years there where I had to do it. I worked two jobs. I attended college full time. I was busy in ministries on weekends. There was times when I was going stretches where I was living on a bare minimum of sleep. And there was times where I literally would walk into my dorm room, and it'd be late at night, and all the other guys are already in bed, and I'm coming home from work, and I realize, as I set my alarm clock, that I was only going to get a few hours of rest and I was going to have to get up and do it again. And I have knelt by my bed and said, God, You know that I'm only going to be able to get about 3.5-4 hours of sleep here. And you know how weary this body is. God, I need you to make these 3.5-4 hours like 8 hours of rest. I need, Lord, you to re-energize me and strengthen me and physically help me. Lord, there's much I've got to do. And Lord, I can't do it in my strength. I don't have enough. And I'd lay myself on the pillow and go to sleep, and that alarm would go off 3.5 hours later, and I knew I had another 22 or 23 hours of busy activity ahead of me, and I would come out of that bed feeling like I had slept 8 or 10 hours. Don't tell me that God is not sufficient. I said, don't tell me that God's not sufficient. I said, don't tell me God is not sufficient. We complain about our weakness, but we won't go to Him with for His strength. The honest truth is, you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. That sounds good and that's all fine, but you're not facing what I'm facing. And I can't. That's your problem. Those two words are your problem. Yes, sir. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's not a lie. Amen. There is sufficiency in Christ. I told our young adult class this morning, well, we have a generation that is too fond of playing the victim role. Everybody wants an alley, and everybody wants an excuse, and everybody wants to surrender. And let me tell you something. That is a wicked testimony against an almighty, all-powerful of God. You walk around claiming to be a child of God, then you run into some problems, and you lack some strength, and you throw your hands up and quit. I don't want anybody else leaving. I don't want anybody else leaving, okay? Why don't you sit back down? This just gets to be an epidemic. God bless you. I'm sorry. This girl goes, that guy, you know, I'm sorry, but we need to listen to what's happening right up here, okay? Are you getting this? Well, I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Either that or go to Philippians chapter number 4, take that whole chapter and just rip it out and throw it away. Because you don't believe it. Shame on you. What a horrible testimony we are. We're children of God. Difficulties come in our life. Well, I just can't do it. Yes, you can. You can if you'll go to God and get His strength. Yes, you can. And you need to. There's a whole world watching you. This whole idea of, you know what, I can't. This person did this, and that person did this, and this person did this, and I'm just a victim of circumstances, and I'm just going to crawl up in a ball in a fetal position and get off that stuff. Get off of it. Good night. If it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. Stop hiding behind your weakness. Learn to become an overcomer. Tap into the strength of an eternal, all-powerful, almighty God. Preacher, I don't have enough strength. God has plenty to spare. Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or swords, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter? Nay, that word means no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are, how many of you were students at Blessed Hope Baptist School when Pastor Jerry was still principal and supervisor? Stand up real quick if you were. Boy, that's discouraging. Man alive, you're kidding me. This group? Oh, my goodness sakes. I should have did a better job. I want to apologize to the church. Go ahead and sit down. But you ask these kids, there's two words I would not abide in my class, and that is, I can't. Now, you might need some help, but you can. I remember little Barbie Jeffrey. Bless her heart. And she came to our class, came to our Christian schools of seventh grade, and I won't go into the whole story of it, but let me just say this, came from a very abusive situation, came from a very dark situation. This little girl was, from the time she walked in on that first day, sitting in that seat and just trembled like a leaf. I mean, trembled like a leaf. She didn't know which way to go or what to do. And you talk about a girl that was unsure of herself. And man, we'd begin to tell her, and listen, this is what you have to accomplish, and here's how you set your goals. And one of the things that I noticed within the first few days in that girl's life is everything you go to tell her to do, her first two words were, I can't. Well, I was patient for about 2 days, which really for me is really pretty tremendous. About the second day, we were passing out semester assignments, and I said, now one of the first things that you've got to do is you've got to get up and you've got to give a speech this semester. And I saw her eyes get about this big around, and she's looking at me, and she starts hyperventilating. And I said, now everybody, I'm going to assign you subjects, and this is what you're going to do, and you're going to write a report, and you're going to get up and give a speech. And as soon as I dismissed them and had them set down, her little flag went right up, and I walk over, and her hands are trembling, and she looked at me, and she said, Pastor, I said, stop. But I can't, and the tears, nope, stop. Stop. There's two words that are not allowed from this time on in your life when you're talking to me. You may get by with them at home, you may get by with them other places, but when you're talking to me, there's two words that will not be allowed. Now, you know what? Some of you think I'm mean right now, but that girl's productive for the Lord right now. You know what? We spend too much time helping people be victims. I say it again, we spend too much time helping people be victims. We spend too much time helping people be victims. I said, you stop. Now, I'm talking about a young lady that had 1,000 things stacked against her. But you know what? She had Jesus Christ. And she needed to learn that with Christ there is sufficiency. Christ is enough. No, what you have is not enough. And you are not enough. But you're not by yourself anymore. You have Jesus Christ in your life. I said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to work with you. I'm going to show you how to do I'm going to show you how to do your report. I'm going to show you how to put a speech together. I'm going to help you fill out the card, but you're going to do it. And you know what? Like every other student, you are going to stand up there and you are going to give this speech, and there's no exceptions. Do you understand me? And I always did this. Do you understand me? You know, if you go ahead and nod to, do you understand me? You understand what I'm saying, right? She's going, And then I seen her turn around her desk, and it was just like, I'm dead. But you know what? We worked with that girl. Other ladies and teachers in this room worked with that young lady. And you know what? She got that report together, and she stood up there. And do you think an earthquake was going on while she was giving her speech? Her dress was shaking. Her hands were shaking. And I told her, I said, when you stand up there, I said, don't you look. You know, the one thing you have to tell the girls in the learning center is don't look at the teenage boys when you're trying to give your speech. Then I tell you girls that don't ever look at the teenage boys, because they'll be going, you know, anything to mess you up. I said, you look at those cards and you look right at me. I'll be at the back of the class and you just look at me and you give your speech. And you know what? She did it. And she said afterwards, she said, guess what? I could. I did it. I said, I told you. Listen, that's good for a 14-year-old girl, but it's also good for a 40-year-old woman. That's good for a 14-year-old girl. That's also good for a 70-year-old man. The honest truth is, folks, we do not have what we need, and we don't have the strength that we need. And you know what? God's constructed us in such a way so that we would not have the strength we need. You know why? Because He does not want us to live in our strength. He wants us to live in His strength. Did you get what these verses said? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And man, when you get a hold of this thing and you realize I do not have enough, but you know what? I do have God. And when I take my not enough and give it to God, He makes it more than enough. If you get that little formula in your life and just run with it, there's not anything in the world you can't do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how many things that I've got up and bravely announced that we're going to do, and inside my heart, I thought, we don't have enough. We don't have enough finances. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough resources. But you know what? When in doubt, put on a brave face and act like you're confident. Amen? But we didn't have enough. But we had a God that had enough. Man, I want you to get on the victory side. Listen, there shouldn't be one Christian in the world walking around with this victim mentality. Good night. Don't you tell me God hasn't been. Don't you tell me God hasn't been good to you. God's blessed you in so many ways, and you know what? You're focused on one or two areas of your life, and you're allowing those things to defeat you. Listen, God has enough strength. Don't come to me. Listen, I'm making a rule here for our whole church. Same rule that I gave Barbie Jeffrey all those years ago, and that's this. There's two words I don't want to hear from you anymore. I do not want to hear I can't. I don't want to hear it. If you want to come to my office and get counsel, I can help you with counsel, but don't bring those two words in with you. Because the honest truth is, if God's commanded us to do it, then we can do it. This is God's message to us today. You are often going to feel overwhelmed. You are often going to feel you do not have what you need to make it. Your strength will at times fail. That is where my grace comes in. My grace will make you what you have enough. You will have enough, and my grace will energize what you have, multiply what you have, so that when you felt you did not have enough, you will find that you have more than enough with my help. Let me finish with this thought and we'll be done. There's times when I feel like I don't have enough time. So I take that not enough, and then I ask God to help me, and next thing you know, I got more than enough. There's times I feel like I don't have enough strength. And I'll take that not enough, and I'll come to God, and you know what? He'll bless the not enough, and next thing you know, it's more than enough. I've felt this way most of my life. I don't have enough resources. Why doesn't God give us unlimited resources? Why doesn't God just make every Christian a millionaire? Anybody for that? Let's vote on that right now. All in favor say aye. All right. Guess what? God's smarter than us. I'm going to read something astounding to you. Hey, preacher, by the way, there's people in this room right now, and the honest truth is you're a little bitter against God. You don't feel like he's fair to you. You wonder all the time why you don't have more than what you have. I'm going to show you why you don't have more than what you have. Matthew 6:31 says this, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink, or whether wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." You know what? When you have a need, he knows that you have a need, and he made sure that you had the need. Watch this. So what do? Quit going to church and get a second job. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." Now watch this last phrase. This is inspired Bible. "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Well, I just want to have enough for today. God says if you did, it'd be the evil thereof. You understand that God, in this matter of resources, has created a situation where he doesn't want us to have enough? You know why? Watch Israel. Study Israel. Every time they went through times of prosperity, you know what? They forgot God. Their faith went in their prosperity. Faith went in their materialism. If you've got not enough all the time, that makes you go to God with the not enough. Then he blesses the not enough, and then he makes it more than enough. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? See, we humans do not do well with abundance. We humans do not do well with an abundance. I'm going to read this humorous. I think this is one of the funniest verses in all the Bible. Proverbs 25:16. "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Isn't it amazing we're so dumb God has to put instructions on eating honey in the Bible to us? "Hast thou found honey?" "Oh yeah, I found a big giant honeycomb." He said, "Just eat just enough. Just eat just enough, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Now, folks, listen to me. We've had ice cream sundaes for our Christian school at times, and I mean, Pastor Jerry buys the ice cream and buys the toppings, and we'll have ice cream sundaes. I always put adults with the squeeze bottles in their hand and with a dipper. If you have ice cream sundae and you just lay all the ingredients out and you turn kids loose on that, they're going to get the biggest bowl they can get. They're going to fill that bowl as heaping as they can with ice cream. They're going to take that squeeze bottle of chocolate and they're going to empty that puppy. They are going to squeeze. You know why? Because a kid never feels like you ever put enough chocolate on there. And they are going to eat and eat and eat and gouge themselves. And then about an hour later, I'll be calling all the parents and you'll be coming getting sick kids because they've made them. You know what? I'm sorry, folks, but that's how humans use abundance. Sorry. You say, that's how children use abundance. That's how most humans use an abundance. I'll prove it to you. Has God ever given you an abundance? Where is it? Which account is it in? Where's it at? Quiet, isn't it? And the honest truth is, we are better Christians with not enough. Because the not enough makes us go to the God who has enough. And ask God to bless the not enough so that we can have more than enough. And it's amazing how I can have not enough so many times in my life and yet go to a God. And by the way, don't you, isn't it interesting? Not enough, go to God. What's the first thing he says when you have not enough? Give me what you got. This is why most people do not want biblical counsel concerning their finances. I've said this before, but if you have financial problems, and I'm not making light of it, we've been there, we've gone through difficult times, we've gone through financial valleys, it's very difficult. But if you come to my office and you say, "Preacher, I need some counsel with over finances," first thing I'm going to ask, do you give tithes and do you give offerings? And if you say no, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to reach over, I'm going to shake your hand and say, "I'm going to pray for you and ask God to convict you in those areas of your life." But there is nothing that I can do to help you until you do those two things. There is nothing I can do to help you. See, this doesn't make sense to the world. Well, you don't have enough. Well, then go to God. Well, if I go to him, he's going to want a tithe and an offering. He wants a tithe and an offering so he can take your not enough and make it into more than enough. Folks, I'm preaching this morning. I just thought of this. This is it. I'm preaching in a $550 Jones, New York suit. I sneak into certain stores on a regular basis and haunt their clearance racks. I went to Macy's about a year ago, walked in the store. This was not hanging on the rack. I'm looking through the rack. The guy comes up to me, and I've bought a couple suits there before, and he says, "You're looking for a suit?" And he keeps looking me up and down. I said, "Yeah." I said, "But you don't have my size." Seems like the clearance rack. Man, if you are like a 38 short, unbelievable the suits you must have. 38, 36 shorts, dudes, I'm telling you what, you're good. I mean, good now, you can buy everything for nothing. But a 40 long is a little harder to get. And he's looking me up and down. And I said, and I'm looking him up and down. And I'm like, he says, "Are you looking for a suit?" And he said, "You know what? You might be the right size." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Somebody returned a suit to this store because they bought it at a Macy's, but it was a Macy's in another state. And we don't even carry this line of suit. It's a Jones, New York suit." Well, I know suits well enough to know that's an expensive suit. He said, "I think I got one that might fit you." He goes back. It's perfect size. Perfect coat. Notice? Perfect size. I put it on. I said, What's the price on this?" He flips over. It was $550, but he says, "Since it's a return, I'll sell it to you for $129. I said, "Ring it up." He went over and rang it up. He said, "I made a mistake on it." I said, "Oh, no, I knew it." He said, "It's only $79. I don't have enough. Are you getting this? I don't have enough to wear a $550 suit. But I've got a God that has enough. And the honest truth is, I don't think I ever fall into a deal like that if I won't tithe. I tilled my garden yesterday with an unbelievable rear-tine tiller. I mean, that thing is the tiller of my dreams. I've dreamed all my life to have a tiller like this. We decided last spring we need to get a tiller. I want a rear-tine tiller. I didn't have any idea what they cost. We went all over Terre Haute, and every place I went, $500 to $800 for a rear-tine tiller. I just told Cheryl, "We just can't spend that kind of money." I gave up. I went before our vacation Bible school. It was probably 2 years ago. Vacation Bible school. I went into the Tractor Supply Company. Tractor Supply Company, Gander Mountain, Rural King. There's nothing else in Terre Haute worth going to. Well, send your wife to Kroger. You got to have food. But that's it. That's all you need to go to right there. And I said, we're buying some cowboy hats for the VBS and buying some cowboy shirts in there for VBS. And I walked over to a rear-tine tiller, and I said, "What's this go for?" And he said, $799. I said, "Well, that's what I'm finding everywhere." And he said, I got another model back in the back building. You might look at it. I said, it's a little cheaper. He said, I don't remember. I said, well, let's go back look at it. Go back there. Nope, same model, $799. I start to walk out, look over in the corner, and there's a rear time tiller sitting over there with a flat tire. And I said, what's that? And he said, the manager's sitting there, and he's going, oh, my goodness. What that is, that's a headache. And I said, well, what's the deal? He said, listen, I sold that rear time tiller new to a guy last spring. He used it one time, brought it back, and said there's a problem with the engine. And he said, you know how to work on something? And I said, well, maybe. I said, depending on what's wrong with it. He said, if you want it, $75. I said, can I try to start it? He said, sure. He left. He just threw his hand up, walked out. I walked over to it, opened the gas tank, had gas in it, walked over, ripped the cord, put it on choke, ripped it a couple times, started, put it over on run, ran. Put it up, reverse, forward, revved it up, revved it down, checked everywhere. I couldn't find a thing in the world wrong with it. I said, it's worth a chance, $75. Went in there, paid the man $75, helped me load it. I put a new tire on it. Not a new tire, put an inner tube in the one tire. And folks, I am using a $600 rear time tiller yesterday. And by the way, if you want to borrow it, I will share this. I would be wrong not to share this. I won't come do it for you, but you can borrow it. Are you getting this? You say, preacher, does that happen every day? No, but you know what I'm saying is this. We don't have enough. So what we do is we hoard our not enough. Well, I don't have enough. I can't help with missions. I can't help with a building project. I can't tithe. I can't give offering. I can't help somebody that's poor. You know why? I don't have enough. And God's sitting there going, the reason you don't have enough is because you won't let me be the sufficiency. Folks, take your not enough. Take it to a God who has more than enough. Jesus, a little boy walked up with a lunch basket. 30,000 people. And he said, well, this isn't enough, but you can have it. And God smiled. Jesus smiled and said, set everybody down. Tell them to get their bibs on, get their knives and forks out. Looks up to heaven, to the God who can take the not enough and make it more than enough and ask the blessings. And he began to break it off and distribute it. And not only did that boy, listen, you can say what you want to, but I think those 12 baskets of food went right home with that little boy. I can still picture the mother who's at home and she sees this little boy and 12 disciples following him, each carrying a big basket. She sees her little boy with 12 grown men following him home and she's thinking, what did he do now? He comes busting in the door. Mom, you're not going to believe what happened. I got that cooler. Here comes these men. They're setting food all over that place. And here's maybe a mother trying to raise this boy by herself. But she taught that boy enough to say, if God wants something that you have, you give it to him. God take plenty of good care of them. We don't have time. Oh, Elijah, you know how preachers are always trying to get your money? Oh, Elijah goes to a widow and says, during a famine, and says, hey, I'm hungry. You got anything to eat? Well, I've got just enough to make one little cake for me and my son, and then we're going to eat it and die. And this is what the preacher said. Fix me some first. Go fix me some first. And you guys eat what's left over. Now, some of you would crucify me if I said that to somebody in this church. You'd say, I'm a money grubbing. You know, you don't get it. You don't get it. By the way, that widow and that widow's boy, you know what? They ate out of that same little cruse of oil and that same little barrel of meal. They ate till the famine was over. You know why? Because somebody who didn't have enough went to the God who has more than enough and said, if you want what I have, it's yours. And the next thing you know, the not enough became more than enough. And I think I've preached more than enough. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, your help, please. God, I wish we just have enough faith to grab hold of this thing and really believe it. Lord, we're a people of limited time, and yet we serve a God that time is no issue. We're a people of limited strength. We have great weaknesses, yet we serve a God with unlimited strength. We are a people of limited resources, and God, the honest truth is, thank God we are. The honest truth is, prosperity has ruined more Christians and ruined more nations than probably any other single thing. Lord, help us to learn that we have a God of unlimited resources. It doesn't mean that you're going to give us everything so that we no longer have to come back and see you, but day by day, Give us this day our daily bread. Day by day we can come to the God with more than enough. Bring our not enough. Watch him take our not enough and make it into more than enough. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to just be a lot more generous from this day forward with our time when it comes to giving it to God. A lot more willing to take the little strength that we have and put it to the labor, put it to the working in the harvest, give it to the Lord's work so that that strength can be multiplied. Lord, I pray, dear God, we'd learn the principles that's taught in the Bible concerning giving and how you have said if you give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you give generously, you'll reap generously. Help us to understand that we serve a great and mighty God. Our sufficiency is to be in you, the God of more than enough. I pray, Lord, help us to learn this great truth. Is there someone here that's trying to live their lives? They've never been saved. They're trying to live their lives without having their sins forgiven, without heaven for sure being in their home. I pray they'd be saved, Lord. Use the message, please. We pray in Jesus' name.